إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means He is the one who created death and life so that He can test you to see which of you do the best deeds. And He is all-powerful and He is the one who forgives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness always. The point of this ayat is that Allah is saying that Allah created us and He created death and life in order to test us to see which of us does the best deeds. The question here is not between halal and haram. The question is between two halal things. Which is better and which is not that good? We know that shaitan misguides in two ways. One is he misguides by actually getting you to do something which is haram. But otherwise, shaitan also misguides. If he cannot make you do something which is haram, then shaitan misguides you to doing something which has less reward in comparison to something which has more reward. Very simple example to understand that is praying in the masjid compared to praying at home. Now, the person praying at home is not... His prayer is valid, inshallah. But he gets one reward for the prayer. The same prayer, he comes to the masjid and prays, he gets 27 times the reward. Now, the issue is, we all know this. I don't think there is any Muslim who is educated, who has heard something about Islam, who does not know this hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said that when a person makes wudu and goes to masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives one sin, writes one good deed in his account, and increases one daraja in Jannah for him for every step he takes to reach the masjid. Sahaba used to actually stay a little bit away from Masjid an-Nabawi because they said, we want to walk a little bit more to get to the masjid. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person who prays in the masjid, he gets 27 times the reward for the same salah. Now, we know this hadith. Then why don't we all pray in the masjid? So, the question is, how much do you really believe these things? To me, that is the question. The question to ask, which I ask myself is, how much do I really believe? How much faith do I actually have? Because there is no need to, this does not need any great, rocket science or some great analyst to come and analyze. We can look for ourselves. If I choose something in our life also, what do? We choose something which has more value compared to something which has less value. What do we tell our children when they are studying? We say, you study, don't go play with your friends. Don't spend time browsing the net. Don't spend time on, video games or whatever it is you do. Study, because this is going to give you great reward in the future. So that 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever the course is doing, say no matter how much of suffering you have in that, all of that is going to bear fruit one day and you will be very happy that you did that. This is what we tell them, right? Some listen, some don't listen, but the point is this is what we tell them. Now, when the child is studying, he is making a choice. And the choice is what? There is something else which he could have done during that time, which he would have enjoyed more. I mean, there is no two ways about that. Except those children who are so totally dedicated, that's a different issue. But generally speaking, the child would have enjoyed going for a football game or watching that game on television or whatever it is doing. I'm not talking about haram stuff. I'm talking about halal stuff. Good, let him do it. But the point is that even though he would have enjoyed that more, the value of studying is much more than that. That thing has no value. At the most, it's some entertainment. But when he's studying, he's getting higher value for that. Now take it to the issue of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, Allah has made trade and business halal, and Allah has made interest-based banking haram. Right? So, this is very clear. So, business is halal. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Jum'ah when it comes to salah? فَسَعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. Allah said, run towards the dhikr of Allah and leave your trade, leave your business. Now, Allah is not saying leave the haram. Business is halal. Allah Himself said this in the Quran. I'm giving you the reference of one ayah for another ayah. But even though it is halal, at the time of salah, the salah has much higher value. So Allah is saying, leave the thing which has less value for the thing which has more value. So inshallah, this is the meaning of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which is the one we want to test you to see who does the best deeds. Take these days, for example, we are going through the days of the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, about which Rasulullah said, and all of the hadiths we know, Nabi said that these are the best days of the year, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the good deeds that are done in these days more than He likes the good deeds done in at any other time. Now, one of the good deeds that you can do in these days is fasting. And you know and I know there are some of us, alhamdulillah, who are fasting for all the 9 days. There are some others who will fast only on Yawm al-Arafah. Now, if somebody is not fasting for the days other than Yawm al-Arafah, he is not committing any sin. He will not be punished for that. Nothing. It is perfectly alright not to fast and to fast only on the day of Yawm al-Arafah, because Yawm al-Arafah has special significance. It wipes out the sins of 1 year before and 1 year after, alhamdulillah. That does not mean you can do sins for 1 year after. It means what you forget to do and things like this. But the point I'm saying is that even though the one who did not fast for the other days, even though he has not committed any sin, but on the day of judgment, when these 9 or 10 days are weighed in the scales of the one who fasted those 9 days, and the one who fasted only 1 day, who has more? Yeah, this, you don't need a mathematician for this, right? Last 10 days of Ramadan al-Kareem. Best nights to make aitikaf is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The biggest benefit of this aitikaf is that you will get Laylatul Qadr, absolutely sure, inshallah, because it is one of those nights. Some will make aitikaf, some will not make aitikaf. And the ones who don't make aitikaf, they will still come and they will pray on these days and so on and so forth. But when the time for judgment comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one not making aitikaf is not committing a sin. You know, he is not going to get punished for not making. I am not talking about punishment. I am saying here is only a question of reward. But one is getting a reward which is huge and massive, and the other one is still getting a reward, but which is much less and minimal compared to the first one. Who is more intelligent? Who is more intelligent? It's as simple as that. And the reason why the one who chose to do the better deed is more intelligent is because he has more faith. Because he really believes. My question to myself is very simple. If I do believe, if I really believe that this thing will help me, how come I don't do it? Why don't I do it? Because if I am saying this benefits me and I am not doing it, then you have a legitimate right to tell me that you are lying. You don't believe what you are saying. Because if it really benefits you, how come you are not, you don't want the benefit? Are you saying, because this, by your action you are saying this. By your action you are saying that Allah gave me this opportunity of these 10 days, but I am sorry, I am not interested in the benefit from this. This is what your action is saying. Even though what you are doing is not haram, what you are doing is halal. But you are rejecting something which Allah has given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives opportunities to all of us. Question is, what do you want to do with that opportunity? I worked for 10 years in the tea garden. Along with me, hundreds of other people who also worked, friends of mine joined with me. I did my work, but in that period, I also got myself an executive MBA from IIM Ahmedabad. I also studied leadership development for 13 years. Those 10 years plus another 3 years afterwards. In that period of 10 years, I did not take one single day's leave, no vacation. All my vacation time I used in studying, I used in getting experience in training. And alhamdulillah, after I left the plantations, and then I was 2 years in Delhi in DHL taking care of their travel. And then 94, I started my business, Yavar Begin Associates in Bangalore. And alhamdulillah, it is a different world. I was able to build a global name in leadership development. I was able to build a global practice, alhamdulillah. The point I am making is, at the time of that period of 12, 13 years in the plantations, the opportunity to develop yourself, the opportunity to create a parallel career which will last you after you leave the plantations was available to everybody. It's not that I had some special opportunity, no. Everyone had the same opportunity. All the people at my level, they all had the same opportunity. We all had more or less the same education and so on and so forth. When we joined, we all had the same opportunity. They didn't take it. Alhamdulillah, I took it. What was the, within quotes, sacrifice? I don't believe in sacrifice. I call this investment. What was investment? Everyone else had a television set. We did not have a television set. Not because we didn't like television or, you know, I was so religious that television is haram. No. We had no money. Because the money I had would go entirely into books. My salary was 850 rupees. In that period, it went up to 1200 rupees. So, there was very short of money. That time and that money was used in this. Yeah, my wife completely supported me, which means that she also went through that hardship, whatever it was. But at the end of that, there is a result. Now, if you ask me, you don't have to ask me, I know this. And if you ask all my friends, what do you think? They all, alhamdulillah, everyone appreciates. He said, no, we should have done. What is the good of saying we should have done? Time is gone. Now we are in our 60s. Where is the question of we should have? This should have been done when we were in our 30s. I did it. They didn't do it. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm just saying that we all have choices. The question is, which choice do you choose? That's all. Simple as that. Nobody can say, I did not have a choice. Everybody's got a choice. Every single person on the face of the earth has a choice. Do we pick the right choices? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I created you to make the right choices. So we have a choice of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a choice of doing something which may not displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also it does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of spending my time in these 10 days doing specific deeds to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am doing something else. Some entertainment or whatever, or business or game or whatnot, all of which is halal, no problem. But it is not ibadah. It is not something which is going to give you dividends on the day of judgment. And once these 9-10 days are passed, and if you die before the next Dhul-Hijjah, this was your last Dhul-Hijjah. How many people do we know in the same masjid who were with us last Dhul-Hijjah? Today they are not there. How many people we know in the same masjid who were with us last Ramadan? Now they are not there. Did they know that that was going to be their last Ramadan? Do I know that this is going to be my last Dhul-Hijjah? After this, I am not going to get another chance. Do I know this? Nobody knows this. But one Ramadan, whichever it is, maybe next one, maybe the one which went last year or this year, maybe the one after 10,000 years, if Allah gives you a life for 10,000 years, there will be one Ramadan which will be your last. There will be one Dhul-Hijjah which will be your last. There will be one salah which will be your last. There will be one thawm, one hajj which will be your last. So what is the safe thing to do? Treat everything like it is the last. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ said, pray as if this is your last prayer. So if this is my last salah, how do I want to pray that? Complete khushu with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, I'm not going to get a chance. Let me make sure that this prayer is absolutely perfect. يَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you, to see which one of you will do the best deed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the good sense to make the right choices, because a time will come when the time to choose, the opportunity to choose will be shut. The door will be closed. At that time, you cannot say, oh, please give me another chance. There is no chance. The chance was there. You took it or you did not take it. Now, that's over. We ask Allah to enable us to do those, make those right choices at the time when we have the opportunity, and to do that which pleases Him and not anything else. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.